Romans chapter 14 tonight. If you pick the one in the outline, you'll see, look at the subject tonight, the faith that keeps you from sin. It's really going to basically going to go through the chapter, Southern Principles. The main idea thought that gave for the titles, you'll find in verse number 23, it says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that, to me, as we'll see in a moment, as we go through the chapter, that's kind of the main idea to try to get us not from doing things that are sin, and basically to do anything that's not of faith. We know that the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so our goal and effort, of course, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we do want to live a life by faith. And, you know, I was thinking about this today, because basically, you know, Jesus saves us from our way. You know, it's funny how simple things are, and the rest of our life till Jesus comes back, we battle with wanting our own way back. You know, it's amazing when you really think about how simple it is. And if you really think about, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, I think of some things I've done in my life that were very harmful and hurtful. You know, I remember smashing my thumb in a wood chipper. You know, that hurt so bad, I'd never want to do that again. I mean, I'd never even want to stick my hand in one of those things, you know, because of the pain that it caused me, you know. And I think we forget that our way was the way of death, and that our way had us totally, completely separated from God for eternity, literally dead of trespasses and sins. And we forget that, but we still want our way, you know. And I think it's just, this just goes to show how deceptive Satan really could be. Because God gave us all very intelligent minds. And you think that just doesn't make sense. You know, if you drank arsenic and by some reason you live, maybe they pump your stomach or another, you would, every time you walk by a poison place, you'd be like, I'd like to taste that again. You know, you wouldn't do that, would you? You know, I just remember the way it was on my lips, you know. But I remember how I was gagging and they were pumping my stomach. Oh, I'd love to do that again. No, you never would. But why is it that when we're saved, we remember the day we turn from our way willingly, grieved over our sin, grieved over our separation from God, and Lord, yes, all of me, you can have me. But then we walk past that death door when we look in the mirror, and we look at that person in the mirror, and I'd like to do what you want to do. And it's really kind of amazing if you think about it, isn't it? You know, but this kind of simplifies it, because it goes through different things that some practical things. Hey, God is a simple God as far as the way He deals with us, because He's infinite in all of His own attributes. But He always tries to make something simple for us so we can really not miss the mark. And really, what could be more simple than leaving your way to the way? And what could be more simple than not picking back up your way again? Now, let's pray, and then we'll just work our way through the passage and see what God does. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. I pray You help us to truly have a desire to live the faith that keeps us from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you see, the points were kind of wordy, but the good news is, I think the rule still stands. More points, short message. So you're in great hands tonight. Amen. They're kind of wordy, so I just printed them out for you. Number one, the faith that keeps you from sin receives those that are weak in the faith. Notice what it says in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputation. You know, we're going to always walk and work with people that are weak in the faith. That's assuming that means that your goal and my goal is not to be one of them. Not by comparison to them, but our goal is always to be strong in the faith, to be strong in the Word. You know, just like I was praying regarding witnessing to people. We need to be filled with Christ and not religion. And then that way, when we meet someone, we'll testify of Jesus Christ and not of religious principles. You know, because being a Baptist or whatever the Baptistic principles are, they will not save anyone, but Christ can save someone. You know, so we need to be filled, and when we're around someone that's weak, we need to receive them, because God's plan is for us to be strong and to be a help to the weak. And no one's plan should be to stay weak forever. You know, it's just like, I always remember every job that I worked, or especially when it's physical labor, there was always an adjustment period where you felt weak at the very beginning because of the different tasks you had to do. I remember when I started deboning in the turkey plant, man, my hands would get so tired from cutting turkeys all day long, and especially when I didn't know how to sharpen a knife very well. So that made it worse. But I determined I was going to get stronger and be able to do it. And everything in life, you know, when I play sports, whatever, I'm always trying to get stronger, faster, whatever the case may be. And we should, how much more in the Christian life, so that we can support the weak. And again, the weak should never desire to stay weak. And I said, number two, the faith that keeps you also does not receive those that have doubtful arguments about the faith. It says, receive him who is weak in the faith, but not to doubtful disputations. That means, what that means is when you're dealing with someone and they're weak in the faith, but they're constantly getting arguments about God, arguments about his character, arguments about can you trust him, arguments about this, then you just can't receive that person. You can pray for them, but you can't, because they will drain you dry. Because it said right here, but not to doubtful disputations. You're not supposed to be in doubtful arguments about the reality of God and the different principles about who God is. So you can receive those that are weak in the faith, but if they're always casting doubt, oh, then you just can't receive them. You got to go forward. It's an unfortunate thing, but that's what God says to do. Now, number three, next thing, the faith does not despise fellow servants and Christian service that they do not agree with. Let's notice what it says here in verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. So there are going to be some times you're going to be some things you don't understand, or a weak person doesn't understand. It's given a comparison talking about meat and herbs here. One by faith, understand that God bless all things, eats meat. Another one just eats herbs for whatever reason. And let there be no despising or judgment amongst them. Don't think lower of anyone that doesn't do this. And we have to remember that, because it knows what it says here. It says, verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? See, this is what we have to remember. You know, the Bible does say to mark them they cause offenses, but it never says despise them. See, and we need to be careful that we don't despise fellow servants and the Christian service that we do not agree with. Because the moment you do that, what's happened is you've become proud, because you've taken a position that's not authorized to you. That means you've taken something that does not belong to you. And in that pride, it always goes for destruction. And, you know, because people that have this type of spirit, at some point in their life, they eventually fall some type of way. Whether it be from simple faithfulness, in a relation with God, it suffers. Literally, I can look back in my life, and I can track any time I've had this type of spirit. Many times the beginning of a road that led me away from God. Now, it seems like the right thing to do, because, you know, we use verses to our advantage, like judge righteous judgment. Yeah, we do judge righteous judgment. Yeah, we can see that that person's in trouble, and yes, they're in difficulty. We can even see that that person is not in the will of God, but we must not have the heart that despises them, or in a heart that judges them, as the Scripture says here, but judging, which means to condemn them. Like, how could they do something like that? Well, same way we look at truth and ignore it sometimes. You know, it's amazing. Every time it's funny, I've learned through the years. Well, I tell you, anytime you make it, the Bible is really true. Because think about this. The Bible said with what judgment you meted out, it shall be meted back to you. And I've said that before. I can't believe somebody would do something like that. And then, you know what happens when I'm finally serving God and I finally get under conviction about different things in my life? Well, you know what the question is I ask myself? How can I do something like that? how can I know that truth and not follow it? How can I know the will of God and not trust what God says? Because that's the button. And sometimes we scratch our head and disbelieve what people do. And like, man, how could they do that? Man, how could they? And the Holy Spirit said the same thing to you and to me. Now, if we never do that, then we'll stay sensitive, and then we'll recognize when we're drifting to that same territory. Because, and there again, see, what the judging does, See, because of pride, see, I've placed myself up here, and I put that person down there. And then my sins, because I put them down there, really aren't that bad. Because, see, I've condemned them. I've brought them lower than me, and that causes me not to really take seriously my own sin. And which God does not want us to do. Because we're fellow servants. If we're, those of us that are saved, we're joining hands with Christ. We're all on the same team. But there should be a spirit of us that says, pray for them. Lift them up. Encourage them. You know, pour out a judgment of a man, servant. To his own master, he standeth and falleth. They're not falling before us. They're falling before God. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we really ought to be concerned if we see someone in that situation. And again, the thing that keeps us in the right frame of mind is that it's not how they affect us. It's how we esteem them and are concerned about them. So number three, faith does not despise fellow servants and Christian service that they do not agree with. Number four, the faith takes time to confirm that his walk is for the Lord and not for himself. Notice verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. See, that's the goal. If you, whatever your values are, it's supposed to be unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. I'll give you an example. The Bible says, early shall I seek thee. I think it's a great idea, the first thing in the morning, to spend time with God. But you know, some people, they're not morning people, and even if they want it, they can try and force themselves, but they're going to have a much better productive Bible time in the evening. Now, they still, to a measure, probably should start their day with the Lord. But I can't condemn them for that. I can't think less of them for that. If they make the determination that 3 o'clock in the afternoon is they're going to be wide awake and they're going to be in the Scriptures and that's the best time they can really focus and actually absorb the Bible, then that's what they ought to do. They, one esteemeth the morning, another esteemeth the afternoon. And both can get the job done. They both are doing it unto the Lord. Because the Bible says, it does not say that if every person doesn't seek Him early, you're in sin. You know, but we should do whatever it takes to have our minds in the frame of God, so that we go throughout the day in the will of God. And that may mean sacrifice in the morning and spend time with God, even if we're not morning people. Most of us probably need both. We probably need the morning and in the afternoon so we can stay on track, you know, because it's easy to fall away. But he said, looking at the verse again, they said, he that regardeth the day, regarding it unto the Lord. That's what the value system is. Unto the Lord. That means that the day you're valuing is because you believe that is valuable to God. And not to ourselves. See, I'm amazed how easy it is for you and I to make religious values and it doesn't really have anything to do with God. Or without really believing or having a scripture to really go behind it, you know. How I can think, how I can feel about something, instead of really having a Bible principle to know for sure that this will please the Lord. But he regardeth not to the day, and the Lord, to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So notice verse 7 here. For none of us liveth to himself. Again, it goes back to, remember, you're saved from your way, not to live for yourself. Because that's why you were dying, or you were dead, and trespassed in sin, it was because of yourself. And no man dieth to himself. We never, you know, salvation is not to make us independent of God. Salvation is not to rescue us from sin so we have liberty to do what we really want to do. No, salvation gives us life to live for God. And so the faith that keeps you from sin, it takes time to confirm that his walk is for the Lord and not for himself. Because we don't live, none of us liveth unto himself. And no man dieth to himself. Whatever we do, everything you live into, it affects somebody else. Most importantly, it affects the glory of the Lord. That's the most important one you should be concerned about. Because remember, you're living for him, you know, because, see, I think I said the other day, people are quick to mention that Eve was the first in transgression, but man was the first to be irresponsible. You know, they missed that part. But see, it's our nature that we don't want to be responsible for anything. We don't want to feel obligated to be a witness to people. We don't want to feel like we want to be free from any obligation or responsibility. But the faith that really will keep you from sin, it takes time to make sure that it's not for himself. How many decisions do you take time for to make sure it's not just for you? Or just the easy way, or the pleasant way, or just the preferable way? Take time. If you take that time, you'll find that you won't spend a lot of time in sin. Number five, the faith lives with Christ as his Lord. Notice it says here, for whether we live, we die. I'm reading verse 8. Whether we live, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Further illustrating, emphasizing what it says Sunday, we're the Lord's. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Verse 9 now, for to this end, that means for this purpose, he's going to tell us the purpose that Christ came. Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord. Now, what does the word Lord mean? I said it. Who knows? What does it mean, Lord mean? Just say it if you know it. Master. So Christ came into the world and he died. He rose and revived to be the Lord, the Master, both of the dead and of the living. And see, the faith that keeps you from sin, that's the purpose. See, if we're followers of Christ, we should be constantly adjusting our lives so that Christ is in control of everything, that he's the Master. But you know what I find is part of the common goal of Christianity? We want to get strong enough to where we can just kind of coast according to our own imagination. We don't want to sin. I mean, we don't want to be in sin because we recognize the danger of that, and we don't want to have our testimony ruined, and we don't want to walk in things that we've seen other people walk in. But we just want to get strong enough to where we're not marred by sin, but at the same time, we want to roll according to our own imagination. Where the motivation should be, and there again, this is what makes Pharisees, what I'm talking about right here. See, when our motivation is purely just to stay from sin, then what happens is, I think, Brother David says, I don't practice in X, Y, and Z tomorrow, I feel pretty good about myself, And you're still hung up on sin number G. I'm a better person than you. I would never say that because I've been taught false humility. So I know how to fake even being humble. So I never say that, but that's what happens because my target is, and I start feeling stronger because I'm not doing this sin, not doing that sin. And guess what happens then? Then you got this religious group that is not doing everything God wants them to do. But they look better than this religious group, and so they feel real good about themselves, and then that's how they can condemn their fellow servants. Whereas reality should be, I'm constantly trying to make sure that Christ is the Lord of every area of my life, and until that happens, I can't be satisfied. if that's my goal, I'll never come to a church service and think bad of anybody in here. I'll never despise my fellow servant because until Christ is mad, that's like a lifetime for that to happen. And by the grace of God, I'm willing to work that lifetime for that to happen. And that should be our goal. And when we're constantly, Lord over my thoughts, Lord over my actions, Lord over my deeds, Lord over my time, Lord over my talents, Lord over my treasure, Lord over every part of my being, that'll keep you busy. That'll keep you on your knees too. That'll keep you desperate. Because think about the times, really. Think back to the times that when you really heard from God and you knew God wants you to do something. And think of how fervent that pursuit was for the first day and a half. Or however long it lasted. Maybe it lasted longer than that. But anybody been there? This is real church, right? You heard from God. And you said, Lord, I never want to do that again. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be that way. Lord, I don't want to fail you again. And man, you're begging God. You're desperate for the help of God. Man, you're in your Bible. You're praying. You may have called people and confessed that you didn't want to talk to at all. And you got right in every way you do it. You examined everything to make sure that your life is what God wants you to be. And then something happened. You just got cool about it. And you lost. Because what happened when you heard from God, you realized that God was not in control. And it bothered you. And you longed. Because something that you heard made you recognize back to that thought of salvation that God's way is so much better than my way. Lord, put me back on track to your way. And man, when you live with that alive, I mean, it's hard to fall into sin. Because the only way you can pursue Lord as Master, that keeps your eyes focused upon Him. But again, when the sin is the target, then you feel like you got over this, you got over that. And by the way, you never get completely victory over anyway because you look at the wrong target. The faith lives with Him, Lord. Number six, the faith continues. Now this is a good one. These go side by side, really. Continually judges himself to make sure that he's not a stumbling block. Verse 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" That means you set your brother apart as nothing. He's not valuable. "For we shall all stand for the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another." Whoa, that would be a lot of work, wouldn't it? It's reversed like this. And I almost want to say we're all, but I know I'm guilty in this area. This is a good reminder. Let's not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this. What came to my mind, the fact, let he who is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. Oh, but I'm not as bad as they are. But you just had pride when you thought that. And God hates even a proud look. Imagine how he feels about a proud statement, if he hates a proud look. But rather judge this, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Imagine, we would be really strong if every saved person, member of this church, he said, my goal is I'm not going to hinder any person that is a brother in their Christian relationship with God. I'm going to make sure that all they ever see in me is Christ. Now, what if that was our total focus instead of judging the sins that other people have done? But see, it's a lot more self-gratifying to talk about other people's sins. And I've seen it happen myself. I've preached something myself. And God deal with me. And then I start thinking about something. Maybe somebody had offended me. Somebody had done something wrong. What happens is my focus is off of what God spoke to me about. And then I start drifting away from God. But when we, man, we'll just continually judge ourselves to make sure we're on a stumbling block. He said, but I don't want to do that. We're already in sin. Like I said, this is a message for those that desire not to be in sin. And it should be a desire of a Christian, And this is the message that will, these are kind of messages that will empower you to live a life that glorifies God, which when you see Him, oh man, you should be glad that you did. It's kind of like I always tell them, I tell my children, if you work when it's time to work, you can play when it's time to play. And we sang the song, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. So this is a time to work. Because the night cometh when no man can work. If we work when it's time to work, then when it's time to meet Jesus and have joy and elation, we'll have all those things. No sad thoughts of what we should have done. And like I said earlier, we have crowns to cast at His feet. Who continually judges Himself. Look at it again, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. I mean, stop it. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Number seven, The faith gift charitably restrains his liberty for the sake of his brother. Notice what it says beginning in the... let's read verse 14. For I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. If your brother is grieved by something that's causing a stomach block, how can we more charitably stop walking that way? How can we just say, well, it's his problem? Like I mentioned, some time ago, I worked this lady in a corporate office, and we were talking about dress. And she said, and she knew her clothing was provocative. She said, if a man thinks I'm provocative, she said, that's his problem. Well, where's the charity? Where's the charity here that says, you know, destroy not him without meat? The guy said, where's the love? And see, that's why I said charitably restrained his liberty for the sake of his brother. And that's just one thing. Well, where's our charitable? You know, we have liberty to do a lot of things, you know. But where's the charity that says, you know what, that's hurt keeping my brother from really going forward for God. My sister from going forward for God. And charitably is that long suffering, that desire. Charity is that love in action. Where's that love that really says, you know what, I don't want to hinder them at all, you know. I want to really be like Christ. And verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is acceptable, for he that in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Let us not follow what we can do and what we can get away with. Let's follow what actually edifies and strengthens one another. Let's not look to God in the Bible to see how much liberty we can have in this world to do what we really want to do. Let's look to see how much we can really get to a relationship with God and use these gifts and these talents to edify the people that are around us and to be a blessing to the people around us. That's what the goal is. That's what the desire is. He said, verse 1, it is good neither eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or made weak. Verse 21 is very clear. Anything that offends your brother, or may cause him to stumble, or makes him weak, we really ought not to do it. And sometimes you won't know what it is, but if you ever find out what it is, you ought to say, no, I've got to let that go. That's got to be done. And there again, if we're judging ourselves, to see, you know, the people that know me, that know I'm a Christian, would you want them really to live like you? That's a good question, isn't it? If you love someone, if you love someone dearly, would you want them to live your Christian life exactly the way you're living it right now? And that's not the same problem, that's the heart condition. Because the heart really would matter, right? Would you want someone that you love dearly to have the same heart for God that you have? See, then that's where you make the judgment. Then that means it's a pretty good chance. If you said no to that, there's a pretty good chance that you're living some things before people that are causing a stumbling block. Because you might be showing something that's not like Christ. And so you need to judge. And when you judge, when you find out the judgment, it's not just so you can say, oh, this is where I'm at. You find out because you can have, remember, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You don't have to live like that. You can be free from that. You got to choose not to, though. You got to make the decisions that make your life pleasing to God. And God gave you the power and authority to do all those things. So you charitably restrain yourself. Number 8, the faith magnifies its private relation with God more than its public freedom. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. You know, if you keep a strong relationship with God, it's going to shine eventually. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. So he says, have thou faith. Let your motivation, getting back, have it to thyself before God. And when you have that faith before God, guess what? When you get in the presence of God, just like Moses when his face shone, when he walked into the people, he didn't have to go say, when Moses came down the mountain, he didn't say, hey, everybody, I've been with God. I want you to know, man, I just had the experience of my lifetime. I've been with God face to face. No, when he walked out of the mountain, they saw his face and like, whoa, what happened to him? You know, it's like when somebody really gets the joy of God in their life, when the Holy Spirit's really on them, they don't have to say a word sometimes. They will because they've been with God, because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. But then when that comes out, I mean, just whoa, you know. Because think about it, you know, us people have been parents before, and still are. When your children can come back from somewhere, and you can know who they've been in the presence with sometimes, without by the way they're acting, by the language out of their mouth, it just shows they've been with who they've been with, you know. And the same thing is true with the Heavenly Father. Hey, when you really get into the presence of God, and you really are, and you really have the motive, have a faith before Him, a faith that is pleasing in His sight, man, it just shows when you come back from that. But see, the real faith magnifies that. That's the emphasis. That's the pinnacle. Because you know why? Because God's everywhere. You know, right? If I walk out in the hall, I'm gonna live my faith before God because God's still there. There's no place I can go that God's not there. And my faith, and you know, I learned a long time ago. It's so easy to shine in church and behaving at home, man. I tell you. I agree. I'm grieving a number of times. I think back so many times, been hypocritical. Like some of those times you scream at your wife before it's time to go to church, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes on. You enter the church as super Christian. Everybody else around you says, man, look at him. He's such a great guy. And your wife's thinking, I wish I didn't go to church with him. Because you're acting like such a creep. Now, none of y'all may have never done anything like that, you know. But I'm just talking about me. I'm just telling the truth about me right now. Now, I'm not proud of it. I'm not trying to glorify that. But I'm telling you, just think about it. It's so easy to come in. But you know, when we have our faith before God, and that's the goal, to shine the faith before God, then we just walk in here and it's all the same. That may be perfect, but it's a lot more consistent. Because, man, we were with God before we got here. We were with God in the morning. Hey, then, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord before man. Hey, we were on our jobs, doing our work before God. We were being a light. We were being a witness. Everything we were doing it for God. We were living our faith before God in everything that we're doing. And so we come to here. It's just more about that. But I tell you, man, when I worked in secular world, man, I loved it. I was always, I mean, I was a preacher. When I worked for American National Claims, I was like, I was the pastor of the corporate office, you know. I looked at it that way. I mean, that was the people. God put me in the reach. And when I worked for ComSpec, and we buried underground cable, you know. And I remember we had a meeting one time, and since they put me in charge of the company, I opened up the meeting in prayer. You know, I thought, hey, they said I'm the boss, so I'll do what the boss wants to do, you know. Now, I defended some of them, but guess what? I got the witness to several of them because of that. I got to explain to them, you know, I'm not trying to push religion down your throat, but I'm just trying to just show that the reality of who God is. And when I went out with them, they thought this guy, you know, he's not going to do anything. And I'd work with him, and I humbled myself, and I could go tell them what to do. And I'd do all the dirty jobs and the nasty jobs so they would know that I wasn't somebody just coming to tell them what to do. And then it was a joy because I did it hard as to the Lord. And even when I hung turkeys, you know. I remember all the people I was looking for to witness to. I remember Jim Peacock, Larry Beal. I remember Griff. I remember this Williams. Williams was his last name. I still remember the first day I was working on a job, and somebody told me I was a preacher. He said, I know you preach, but I ain't never going to call you Rev. I said, I didn't ask you to call me Rev. I didn't ask you to call me Rev. And I said, but you see, it's written on my damn Harper, you know, do whatever you want to do, you know. Three weeks later, he's called me Rev. When he got out of jail, first thing he did was come to church with me. And why? Because that's what I was there for. I wasn't there just to cut up turkeys and make money. I was there because I was there to live my faith before God. God gave me that strength. He gave me that job to live my faith. And so when I came to church, I'd already been living my faith. Though I would be tired, though I'd be wore out, I've been living my faith all day long. So, man, I couldn't wait to get to church because I wanted some more faith. Because the church I was in, I knew they preached the Bible. And so I've been giving out faith all day long, and I needed some more faith because I'd give some out tomorrow. But you magnify that private relationship. Which is, because you know it's private. Because even when you're on the job witnessing, you're not tooting your horn saying, hey, look what I'm doing for God, I'm witnessing. No, you're with God's with you, and you're doing it before Him. And you're just doing it, but your focus and your mind is on Christ and on God, and you're doing this thing so everything is private, even when it's public, because that's your emphasis. And so you're not looking for when, man, I can finally do this today, I want to do this. And though God doesn't mind us having joy in this life, but when that's the goal, then we end up walking in sin. Because then we go back to live for ourselves and not for Him alone. Last thing you see there, the faith never takes liberty as a Christian without it being clear direction from God. Because it said in verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Be careful when you feel like you have to make a decision right now. And slow down. It's better just to say no than to make a decision that's not by faith. Imagine so many things that we do that we justify as Christian living, and we're not really sure about it. And that's why, a lot of our Christian lives don't have substance. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we do things religiously speaking, and we're doing it in doubt. And so it's really of sin because we're just doing it by religious habit or practicing something else we saw somebody else practice. But man, once you really begin to live a life with God, then you got a Bible and you have the Holy Ghost. There's no reason to do things without faith. There's no reason to live in sin. There's no reason for me to say, well, since I got liberty, I'll just do this and hopefully be all right. No, I got a Bible that says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. I mean, my pastor was talking about that, but yeah, if you ask, you have to be willing to wait. And you got to be willing to know. And you got to be willing to trust God until you hear. If not, then you take off in a direction. When things unravel, you think, what went wrong? I ask God for this, and I always ask myself, if I feel like I'm somewhere in a situation and not working out, and I ask myself, how did I get here? Did God lead me here, or did I get me here? Because I'm pretty creative. I can make some things happen, you know. But did God get me here? And even like when there are difficulties here, I would look back and I said, I can see the trail, how God led me to Toronto, Canada. I can see the steps, how He brought me here. I said, that means it's either a test or Satan's trying to trick me and to discourage me. So then I can rest. Because I got here by faith. And so even in the times when the flesh wants to quit, there's some substance to hold on to. Because I got here by faith. And see, that's what, and the decisions you make in our lives, build your life on faith decisions. If not, you'll build your life on himself decisions and yourself decisions. And you'll be living your life your way under a Christian title. And you'll wonder why, man, how come my life didn't have any substance? Some people say, man, I'm just going to church again. You know why? Because you're not living your substance. You're not living a life of faith. I mean, most people that endure church, no devotional life, no personal evangelism, and no sacrificial living. Every single time. Now, might be morally pure. Morally good. Not doing a lot of things in the world. But no personal devotion life. No evangelism. That means their light's not shining. That means they're in rebellion against God. Because he said, let your light so shine. If you're saved, you have a light. So you have to shine it. But when those two things aren't there, because think of it, if your light's not shining, you know what happens? You get overshadowed by the darkness. And so it's no wonder when your light's not shining that everything just seems dark around you and seems poorly. And think about it, when depression sets in and when people get depressed, one thing people always talk about depression as a dark cloud. Because when you're depressed, what do you want to do all the time? You want to sleep all the time. I've been there. When I'm depressed, sleep and eat. Two things I want to do. Because sleep makes me hide from my problems. Eating gives me pleasure. So I feel good, even though I feel miserable. But the reality, when the light shines, with everything around me, even in the darkness, is light. Because I've got the light. You know, it's just like when I throw newspapers in the morning, I carry two different flashlights. I carry one big one where I can see the numbers from the car, and a second one in my pocket. Because sometimes you get out of the house and you still, and even though you can't see some from the road because bushes, and you still got to see them and trying to minimize. You know, thank you, Lord. That's just good. Wake up. The reason I have the other light, the small one, is so that I don't want to walk anywhere I'm not supposed to walk. Because after about 50 or 60 houses, I start thinking every step's important. And what I do, the reason I carry without that small light, sometimes in the darkness, I've had to, because some people, people don't think about newspaper carriers when they put numbers on their houses. I'm going to come to your house later and check what kind of number you got, brother. I don't do your area, but just to have mercy if you ever get the paper. And many times the numbers, they blend right in with the paint or the house. I mean, exact same paint, you can't see them. Is that right, girls? and sometimes, you have to walk sometimes this close to the house to actually see the house number. And now, that's okay if the road's right here. But sometimes it's a long house, and sometimes you have to walk all the way back out of here, and they go back here to get to the next house. And so I want that light, because I don't want to waste any steps walking the wrong direction. Because the more steps I walk the wrong direction, the more I don't want to continue with the job that I'm on. And somebody says, man, I want to. And I've had some more like, man, I just want to do something different. And that's what happens in your Christian life. When the light's not shining, man, you walk and you walk, and you came for the right reason. You're laboring. I mean, you're trying to be a good laborer. I mean, you're laboring. You actually are in the place you're supposed to be. You start out doing the job you're supposed to be doing, but you walk all those extra steps. And you get, and what happens? It's the wrong house. Or, sometimes it happens. Oh, praise the Lord, it's the right one. It's my luck. And that's the grace of God. And so you may be at the house today and you see the number and it's the grace of God. You're in the right place, so praise the Lord. But you really didn't get there by faith. It was just a grace that happened to have, wow, man, I can't believe it's the right one. You know, and you're thrilled that it's the right one, but you didn't get there with any substance, any real direction. Because if you just shine the light, you'd know it. And guess what? If you shine the light, you don't even have to walk as far, because you see it from here. You can throw it, hit the house from the distance, you know. You can save yourself and save your labor. And that's what the Bible says, his yoke is easy. Because if I shine the light from here and see it, it's easy. It's so much easier to toss it from here that I have to waste all the labor. But some people live their life, so much of their Christian life, without the light shining, and all they're doing is walking. Walking to the wrong place. Walking again. Have to check every... Oh, this is getting better. I hope somebody's getting this beside me. This is good. You know, and what so many people do without shining light, they have to walk to every place and see it for themselves, when they can use the light to illuminate the way and just do the work by faith. That was good. Did y'all get that? That was good. That was good for me. It wasn't good for anybody else. I mean, why? And you know, and why wait to have to see it yourself when the light can reveal it to you? I've been amazed at the things I've learned just through trying to evangelize people. I mean, I remember what Laura testified this by doing Bible study with people. I mean, things you learn by just being concerned about somebody else's spiritual condition. That's what our life is supposed to be consumed with. And when we do that, man, it's a lot easier not to think about living for ourselves. So, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God doesn't want us to walk in sin. Romans 6, verse 1 says, what should we say then? So we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Please allow your Holy Spirit to make the application and give the unction, give the importance in ways that my feeble self cannot. I pray that you purpose in the heart. I pray you give them some hope and some light to lead some out of the darkness and to save some from some wasted steps.